Thank you, Junior, for that special. That's a old-time favorite. Been around for a while. Wonderful message. Today we're looking at another spiritual warfare message, and this is entitled Satan's Deceptive Scheme. As I look at my schedule for this year, I think there's maybe one or two more series on the spiritual warfare. And I hope that you've enjoyed these, because we have learned a lot and will learn a lot about our adversary, Satan, the devil. He is against us, and he's not for us at all. And he will do everything he can to bring up a scheme or tactic or mislead us in a deceptive way. The scripture this morning is going to be from John chapter 10, just two verses this morning. And these two verses are jam-packed full of information concerning what Jesus has to say. And so let's get right into it, who Jesus is and how that we can always go to him for comfort, for guidance and direction, because he is the door of life. So beginning with starting with verse 9, which says, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." And I've included Psalms 23 along with this, because the Lord is our shepherd, and he talks about going in and out of the pastures. We have that freedom to do that. And then verse 10, the thief, talking about Satan, the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they, the world, may have life and have it abundantly. That's that spiritual abundantly blessings that we have in the Lord. Back in 1989, after I graduated from Florida Baptist Theological College, went there 4 years, and I wanted to further my education and get my graduate studies at a seminary, and my goal was to go to Mid-America Seminary in Memphis, Tennessee. Brenda and I drove there one weekend. And while we were there, I told Brenda, I want to go to Bellevue Baptist Church. That's where Adrian Rogers pastors. Have you heard of Adrian Rogers? Oh, man. Such a great scholar, pastor. He was born in West Palm Beach and pastored the church there, and then ended up at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, and spent 32 years there before his death. And he died at 74 years of old. And while Brenda and I were there checking out Mid-America, we did go to Bellevue Baptist Church and got to hear Dr. Adrian Rogers preach in person. A congregation of 29,000. You imagine that? 29,000. Now, they had more than one service, so there wasn't 29 in one setting. But it's a huge, huge church and so forth. But that was my goal, going there to Mid-America. But God didn't lead me there. I just couldn't get that direction. And then I said, well, our next step is Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. We went there and walked across the campus, and the Lord spoke and said, this is where I want you. And that's where I went and finished there. But, you know, God leads us every step. If we will go to him and say, Lord, I want seek your direction. And that's where we find that peace of mind. And that's why he said, I am the door. So, Adrian Rogers once said, he said, if you're sinking in quicksand, Satan will gladly pat you on the head. He will. He'd be glad to see you sink. That's the way Satan is. So Satan is always trying to beat us down and steal our life. That's his schemes. He tries to rob us of life, both eternal life, abundant life, through his lies and his deceptions. And if we listen to him, think about it. If you listen to him, he will steal away the life as a thief in the night. And that's why Jesus called him a thief, because he'll rob you of the joy of life that Christ has in store for you. In addition to being a thief, Satan is also called the wicked one. He is wicked. Wicked in all ways. You think this world is wicked and destructive? Satan is right behind it. That's why this world is the way it is. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus said again, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God is what he's talking about, and does not understand it, then the wicked one, he calls him out again, calls him out. The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So if the word doesn't take root, deep root in the heart, Satan is right there to snatch it away from you. And that's what Jesus is saying, because he is a thief. So today, we want to see how Satan deceives people into serving him. And we also learn how serving the devil will drain the life right out of us. As we will discover, it will steal the life away from us, being that the devil, he is a thief. And I hope we will begin to see that in order to have true life in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we must listen to the voice of God. We must listen to his voice. Jesus says, I know my sheep and they know me. And if you listen to me, Jesus says, I will lead you in the paths of righteousness. So we want to follow the Lord in our lives. So first of all, in verse 9, it's in Jesus are green pastures. Green pastures. So Jesus was speaking of himself as being the shepherd of his sheep or his people. In John chapter 2 through 4, Jesus talks about this. And Jesus said, I am the door. Anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Jesus is the only door. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Of course, he's talking about the Laodicean church, the seventh church in the Asian churches that's listed in the New Testament. We are living in that age, Laodicean age. The last 70 weeks, and we're in that latter weeks of Jesus coming back again. We don't know when. I'm not prophesying here. I'm just telling what the scripture says in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And the Laodicean church was a church that was kind of lukewarm. And Jesus said, I want you to be either hot for me or either cold, but not straddle the fence or be warm, because if you drink warm water, Jesus said, you'll spew it out. So, This is very important for us to know. Jesus is the door that leads to salvation. He is that door. He's the only door that leads to salvation, which is the term meaning to be rescued from our sins. He rescues us from our sins. We're all sin. Romans 3:23 says we all fall short of the glory of God. We all are sinners and fall short of His glory. Jesus is the door leading to salvation, and may I include also eternal life. And He is the door to spending eternity in heaven with God the Father. And I like this verse as well. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to me except through me. Now, Jesus is the only way, the only door that leads to salvation, eternal life, and we must enter by Him, according to John 14:6. If you ever grew up on a farm, perhaps, and many of you probably did, I did, when I was a young lad, up till I was about 19, 20 years old before I went to school and got into the workforce and so forth. We had cattle. And if you've ever noticed the big fatted calf, the cow that seems to be healthy and has it all going on, and you can look at there and you can see all these cows in green pastures, and that pasture can be just as green can be. But if you see that one cow leaning over the fence, pushing the fence down, and he's got his head over in the other side of the fence in another pastures, because he thinks what? The grass is greener on the other side. When he's got what he needs right there in that one pasture. And I don't know, we was always mending fences because the cows had a tendency to push them down. Now, if we choose to enter by Jesus, then when we do, we will find that the grass is greener on the other side. For He tells us that we'll find pasture. That's the good side, Jesus' side. Now, I mentioned Psalms 23 a while ago, and I want to emphasize some great things about this particular chapter. That it's got so much for us to be able to grasp and understand about the Lord is our shepherd, and He can meet every need in our life. And in verse 6, you know, David was thinking about heaven. He was thinking about the kingdom of God. And he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But looking at this, Jesus the shepherd desires to bring us to green pastures. And in Psalms 23, we learn that this pasture is a place of still waters. It's a peaceful place, a place of serenity where you can just think and enjoy the presence of God. And that's what the psalmist was saying. It's a place of restoration for our soul. We need that sometimes. We get so busy, right? Caught up in everything of this world, listening to the media are listening to things that are always negative in this world. And sometimes we need a place of restoration where we can just be restored by the presence of God. It's a place of righteousness. David, you know, he struggled in life. And he had the thieves and the things after him all the time. But he knew that God was a place that he could go and he could find that righteousness. And it's a place where we will not be afraid of evil. You know, God will protect us. He will guide and direct us. It's a place where a table is continually set before us. Food never runs out, right? And it's all good, wholesome, and nourishing for our lives. And our cup will overflow in abundance. That's why David said, it never ends. And then it's a place of good, mercy, and life. And that's that sixth verse I was talking about. And when David said, I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that dwell means I'm going to settle down there one of these days, and I will be at home with the Lord. So Jesus wants to lead us to the good pasture and a place of abundant life, both eternal life, true life, and that's here and now and forever. So the shepherd will lead us into the green pastures daily, and verse 10 said it would be abundance. It never runs out. All right, next. In the devil, we find death. And Adam and Eve was reminded of this in the Garden of Eden. Surely, the day that you eat of the fruit in the midst of God, you sure shall die. And Satan knew that, and that's what he wanted Adam and Eve to do, die physically. But God restored them. In verse part 10, a part, it said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now back in chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus stated, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter through the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So, the devil is a thief. That's what the Lord is calling him out here. He tries to climb into the sheepfold to steal and kill and destroy. He is like a hungry wolf. And Peter has something to say about that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, when he says, and he warns us, Peter's warning us. Now, Jesus emphasized this to Peter. And Peter, James, and John, when they went up to Mount Olives to pray, right before Jesus was to go to trial and before he was going to be crucified, and he led Peter, James, and John up a little ways, and he said, you stay here and you pray lest you be fall into temptation. Because he knew Satan was going to be there. They was tired. They was weary. They was concerned because they knew Jesus had been telling them he was going to die. And Satan was going to try to catch him at the weakest point in their life. Because they was tired, they was weak, they was sorrowful, they was grieving. And Jesus went ahead a little ways to pray. Three times he came back. Twice he said, you're sleeping. Third time he said, sleep on. Because the evil one is here. In that verse, Peter says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In John 8:44, Jesus told us of the devil, that, or Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So that is a great warning for us to understand. Satan is alive. He's real. He's deceptive. He's a thief. He's a murderer. And all of these things. So beware. Lest you be tempted. You will be tempted. But gird yourself up. Full armor of God. And he will direct your paths. The word of God. So I want to remind us that Satan uses lies, deception to lead us away from the sheepfold. You know, as a Christian, he wants to confuse us and lead us away from the family of God into his snares. For example, in 2 Timothy 2:26, Paul said that we should do our best to lead people to come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So we need to use good thinking, make good decisions, knowing right from wrong. And as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit living within our lives, our heart. And when we are tempted to do something we know not, that is not right, then the Lord will lead us in the right direction. Satan will try to lead you the other path, the path of destruction. So Satan seeks to trick us, devour our relationship with the Lord. He will utilize deception to enter our spiritual lives. See, he wants us to discredit the word of God. He wants us to not be a part of the kingdom of God. And when he gets inside, he will devour our lives. And that's what 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 tells us that I just read a while ago. So it's helpful for us as Christians to think about our identity in Christ. Think about this today. How many have been deceived out in this world by identity theft? The media, cyber. People are, people are always trying to steal our identity on the website and so forth like that. And that's what Satan. So we need to think about our identity in Christ and how desperately Satan is trying to help us lose it. He is originally the master identity theft. He desires to make us doubt who we are and whose we are. And if we're Christian, we belong to the Lord. So we belong to God. So he wants us to doubt our future and our citizenship. He wants us to doubt our faith. Doubt that we're a Christian. That's why he is called a thief. Satan wants us to question our ultimate victory because of our occasional failures. And we all have failures in life. We do. And those can be called weaknesses. And when we're at the weakest, that's when Satan is going to attack. He's going to come full force. So we need to have on the full armor of God, according to Ephesians chapter 6, and suit up with it each day. When you get up in the morning, suit up with the word of God, the full armor of God for your protection, their spiritual well-being. So most of all, he wants us to doubt the love of Christ and our Father. Satan would tell us that we can't be fulfilled or we can't be happy until we obtain certain goal or objects or our objective in our life. We're thinking about selfness, ourself. That's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be satisfied by simply being a follower of Christ. He wants to lead us in a different direction. I pull a scripture from the Old Testament. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us, the joy of the Lord is to be our strength. That is a good verse. Hey, that's a simple one to memorize, Beth. I challenged you a few weeks ago to memorize a particular scripture, and Beth did. And she quoted it to me last week.
I still know it.
She still knows it. Amen. There you go. You see how simple that is? And this is simple. The joy of the Lord is to be our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah was a great prophet. And boy, that's a good one to learn. All right, let's look at our final point for this morning, the latter part of verse 10, B part, which says, I have come that they may have life. Talking about the world, all of us. Everyone that has come into this world, created by God, he has come that we might have life, that we may have it more abundantly. Jesus is our shepherd, as David says in Psalms 23. And we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, just like David, if we know him personally. He desires to provide us with the spiritual food and nourishment. For he said that he came to bring life, bring us life, new life. And in Jesus, we can find pasture land with the crystal clear stream to lie down beside. That's what Paul says. David in Psalms 23. A beautiful tree to shelter us. Jesus represents the water of life in Revelation chapter 21, and the tree of life in Revelation 22. You see how beautiful God paints this world, and as we move through this world, which is temporarily, into the kingdom of God, see how beautiful that is? He is a source of life. John 1, 1 through 4, and the author of life. Acts 3, 15. See, Jesus wants us to have everlasting life all eternity. But he also wants us to have true life right now. He wants us to enjoy this life in him. Not in the world, but in him. And that's why John 10:10 can be translated as, that they may keep on having life. And we keep on having life. And the end of the verse can read, that they may keep on having abundant life. So the life that Jesus offers is something that we can keep on having. It's every day. It's continually. It's non-ending. Anything with God, non-ending. And if you don't have a personal relationship, you don't understand the abundance that he's talking about here. It never fades away, for it's everlasting, eternal, and Jesus says that he wants to keep on having. He wants us to keep on having this abundant life, this joy. Now, happiness happens, it's temporary. You know, we get something, we're happy with it, right? But the happiness rolls off. But the joy that we have of our salvation and Lord never ends. So in closing this morning, what is that abundance? I've been mentioning abundance, abundant life. What is it? Jesus said in 10:10, John 10:10, I have come that they, you, may have life and have it to the fullness. The fullness. That means non-ending again. Abundance is life to the full. And that's in him. Not of the world, but to the fullness of him. Jesus knows what that is when he came to this world to die in our place. He came with joy, knowing that he was doing and being obedient to the Heavenly Father, that every creature, every man, mankind would be saved from eternal destruction that Satan was setting up for man's failure. And we keep on having it. Keep on having it. And it never stops coming our way. Jesus offers salvation. He offers eternal life. He offers us true, abundant life now. And all we have to do in order to receive this eternal life to the fullness is to ignore Satan and his deception, his lies. He's the enemy. He's the thief. And accept the gift that Jesus freely offers us. That's the fullness that Jesus is talking about. Fullness of life. He's the only door. If you enter that door, you enter the door of life eternal. You'll understand what that joy is. When you pray a prayer and receiving Jesus Christ in your life, you know, it's like the world is lifted, your burdens and sins are lifted, and your own clouds is floating around, flying around, like soaring like an eagle, right? Nothing like it, nothing better. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the salvation you do offer us. And Lord, we need to be warned about Satan. And your word gives us that warning. Tells us everything about him. Everything that he tries to do to deceive us, to bring us down, to destroy our lives. But Lord, you're right here, right now, ready to pick us up, set us on solid ground, point us in your direction, the paths of righteousness. And I pray if anyone here today or anyone listening can contact us and let us know that you're working in our lives and we can talk to them. But here in this service today, Lord, we each and every one of us have an opportunity to make a choice to follow you or not to. But Lord, it's your will that we accept your Holy Spirit into our heart and our life to dwell with us eternally. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here today that we do a self-examination of where we are in light of your scriptures, knowing Jesus Christ walked this earth just like us, went through the same temptations. Satan tempted him, but Jesus defended himself with the word, the sword of life. And we can do that as well. We have your word. And may we use it daily to strengthen our spiritual life and that we will understand what abundant life is and the joy that we can have in you. There's nothing like it. It's a peaceful life. It leads us to eternal life with you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you personally, Lord, they can, by saying yes to you, no to Satan. Yes to you is eternal life. In Jesus' precious name I pray this morning. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our final song, Have You Any Room for Jesus?